Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, this is your best opportunity. 844-322-2742. Those lines are wide open right now. Again, 844-322-2742. So welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is our last day of the month to talk about our theme, which has been hope, and that's what everybody needs. That's what everybody longs for, and that's what the gospel delivers. And here at the end of the Bible, Revelation 21, we see what our ultimate hope is. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." That's what we're ultimately hoping for, and that's what we're guaranteed in this gospel message. And if you want to know about a guarantee, we have a deposit guaranteeing this very thing is going to happen for each and every one of us who know Christ Jesus. And Andrew, welcome back to the broadcast.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Bob. It's great to be with you.
Well, I was thinking about that passage in Ephesians chapter 1, and where Paul wrote, "And you were also included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory." So our hope is sure. These things aren't just things that we wish for or part of our imagination. God has declared them to be. He has guaranteed that for each of us by giving us the Holy Spirit. That's the deposit guaranteeing all that God has for us in Christ Jesus. That's great news, isn't it?
Yeah, and this is a hope that's for anyone and everyone. And, you know, Ephesians kind of clears that up. In the Old Testament, of course, God majored in all things Israel. And the Gentiles were, well, as Ephesians puts it, they were without hope and without God and without a covenant. And I love this unifying message that we have. You know, the Son of Man has been lifted up. He wants to draw all men unto himself. And so now, by calling on the name of the Lord, Bob, we have this hope, and it's for anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter your background, the nation you come from. God has opened the floodgates for the whosoever wills.
Yes, that is great news. If you're longing for hope, if you're looking for something sure, unshakable in your life, the gospel message gives you that hope, anchors you in the whirlwind that we know of life here and now, and gives you a bright future.
Absolutely. Well, you hear the good news each day on Basic Gospel, and we're glad that you've joined us for it today. We have plenty of open lines, friends. Calls beginning to come in, but still, as I said, plenty of open lines. 844-322-2742. Go to the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. We have a question from Mary, and I think it really gets to the heart of some things, Bob, that you talk about in Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Mary says, "I accepted the Lord when I was 10 or 11 years old, asking Jesus into my heart. It just seems like over the years, even though I serve in the church and do various things, pray and so forth, I just feel sometimes that I'm really not a Christian. I don't know how to get past this. I find myself asking the Lord to save me over and over again. And when I think about it, I get a little afraid. I just want to get to the point where I can say I'm a Christian, I've done what Jesus said, and move on." That's from Mary.
Man. Yeah. Tough question, isn't it, Drew?
It is. It is. And I think your book really does speak to it, Bob. I would encourage her, you know, if she hasn't gotten it yet, to consider getting Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And the other thing is, you know, I mean, really, it sounds like she's worried, have I done it? Have I done it? Have I done it right? Have I done it enough? Have I done it all the right ways that it needs to be done? And I think that ultimately you just have to surrender all that, and you have to say, You know, it's not about my magic words. It's not about my perfect motive. It's about God's perfect motive on that cross with Jesus and through the resurrection. And so I am just going to let my salvation be God's problem. I've made it clear, Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to come live in me. I've made it clear, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of all my sins. I want you to free me and make me a new creation. I have made it as clear as possible to the God of the universe, and he has heard me, and he has said that if he's standing at the door knocking, and if I open that door, which I've done, that he will come in. So this is about me deciding, number one, that God is not a liar. Number two, that God is a promise keeper. And number three, it's not about me and my perfect words and my perfect motives. It's really all about God coming through on my behalf. And because of that, I am a saved person. And saved is not a feeling. It is a fact. It is a truth that I rest in.
Yeah. I know, guys, in my own life, I was a lot like the emailer. I prayed to receive the Lord probably 500 different times. And it all started with some sin. You know, I would give in to some temptation. In seventh grade, I was in a shoplifting gang, and that brought all kinds of guilt. And every time I'd steal something, I'd feel guilty about it and ask the Lord to forgive me, and then, you know, come back into my life. And then you know, the temptations got you know, different flavors and those sort of things, and I would give in to those and feel guilty about that and think God had left me, and, you know, Lord, please forgive me. And then I'd pray for him to come back into my life. And you know, it just got to the point where, you know, you think 500 times of praying to receive the Lord, that should be enough. And what really changed it for me is recognizing that Christ had taken away all of my sins, that the shed blood of Christ was enough, and that opened the door for what he really wanted to do, and that was to come and live inside of me. I never got that. You know, growing up, I didn't get that part of the message. That was something that came 8 years, 10 years after I first received Christ. I just thought I was receiving forgiveness, and if I sinned, I thought I could lose that, and so I was losing salvation. So I kept praying, you know, along those forgiveness lines. But when I really understood that Jesus took away my sins and recognize that salvation is receiving his life, that's when things changed. That's when I drove the stake and knew that I knew that I knew. And never after that did I ever pray to receive Christ again. Why? Mm-hmm. Because I knew he was alive living in me. I knew what that gospel message was all about. And I think that's why it's so important for us to hit not only the death of Christ, but the burial of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. That is the full story, and that gives us the full picture of God's desire for us to take away our sins once and for all, and then give us life that can never be forfeited, because it's his life, and because he lives, we live.
Absolutely.
That's good news, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, absolutely. Sure is. Yeah. Well, Mary, hope you're listening and hope that's a help to you. I would also like to point out that Bob covers this particular aspect of our belief and disbelief in his book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. He really lays it out in depth, and we would like for you to be the beneficiary of reading a copy of it. So if you will contact us, we'd love to get one into your hands.
Well, can we do something crazy today?
Well, let's just
we
do
did
it.
Something crazy last week.
Yeah,
let's,
we did.
Let's do something crazy today. our study guide, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace study guide, is hot off the press.
Yes.
We just got our shipment in just several days ago. And let's do a combo pack. And this is for people who call in. You can't get it online. We don't have any of this on our website.
So heads up, staff.
Yeah, heads up. Let's do a crazy thing. Let's offer the book and the study guide for $12, a gift of $12. Anybody that will call right now, 844-412-2742, 844-412-2742. Tell Billy you want the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace combo. We'll get that to you as quickly as we can. This study guide, it's just a powerful resource to really drive you in to the Word of God. Books are great and tell the story. This book is chock full with scriptures. You know, Andrew, you do the same thing in all of your books. You just fill them with scriptures. But this study guide forces you to get into those scriptures and to ask some questions.
Yeah.
And so I think it's a great combo. We want to send it to anybody that will call in today, 844-412-2742. My staff isn't going to like me. Our staff isn't going to like me coming up with all these crazy things, but let's do it anyway. $12 for the two.
They're a forgiving staff.
Yes, they yes, they are. Well, let's go to Waco, Texas, and talk with Tila listening to us on KBBW. Hi, Tila.
Hi. God bless you. Jesus bless you. I just want to tell that lady that called yesterday, I want to tell her some scriptures out of the Bible that she called, that she was Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was a former Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, but I think she studied the Bible. She wants to know who Jesus is. Jesus, God Jehovah, the one that made Adam and Eve, became flesh when he made himself by the Holy Spirit when he was born of Virgin Mary, the Son of God in the flesh, but he was God. He says in the book of 1 Timothy 3, Timothy says that grace, the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Tila, and that's the great mystery, and that's what the Jehovah's Witness denies, Jesus is God in human flesh. They think of him as a little God, but not with true deity, not one with the Father. So that is where they missed the boat.
Yes, right. That's true. And then I'll read the Bible, which is in the book of John. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. And then he said, he made the world. He was in the world, and the world needed him not. Like nowadays, they don't know who Jesus is.
Yeah,
a lot of people don't know who Jesus is. He was just God. And when you know that Jesus is God,
you're exactly right, Tila. And it's overwhelming to think that that God became one of us to taste death for us so that we could experience everlasting life, that everything that we could know about God the Father has been revealed to us through Jesus Christ the Son. And that's the powerful story of the good news. And Tila, thanks for commenting on that. We certainly appreciate it.
The thing about these passages is that people who don't want to believe them refuse to believe them. But that still doesn't mean that they have no effect. The Spirit drives these things home and gets through to us. He got through to me. He can get through to any Jehovah's Witness, any belief system anywhere. The Spirit can bring this truth to bear and change a life.
Yes, indeed. Well, Tila, thanks for your call today. We certainly appreciate it. God bless. Well, we had somebody that called just a second ago and asked the question, do you have to be a pastor to baptize somebody? Do you have to be officially ordained in order to baptize another person in water? And, Andrew, how would you answer that?
Well, of course, the answer is no. We're not qualified to baptize people because of some spiritual gift we have or because of some employment at a church building, and certainly not because the state of Texas or the state of Maryland or any other state has given us permission to, under the laws of the United States, be ordained. All of that is just formality. And what really qualifies us is that we're in Christ and that we are believers, we're children of God. And then we look at someone who is newly born in Christ as a new creation, and they say, I want to celebrate this publicly with my friends, my family, the congregation I'm in, whoever it is. And they say, and I'd like you to do this. Would you baptize me? You know, that's an honor and a privilege for any friend, any father to do with his daughter or son. Many people in our congregation here, Bob, in West Texas, you know, when some children come to faith and they truly understand the gospel and they want to be baptized, you know, the father may come to me and say, hey, I want to baptize my kid on Sunday. And every time I hear that, my heart leaps, not just for the kid, but for the father who gets the privilege of being involved in that. I mean, that's a memory of a lifetime. And, of course, anyone who's in Christ is qualified to celebrate this with another believer. And so all of that business about you have to be ordained or you have to be employed by a church or, you know, anything like that, those are formalities. In some cases, the world has set them up. You know, there's tax benefits for being ordained and that sort of business. And then, of course, there are spiritual gifts, pastoring, teaching, shepherding. I mean, but we aren't qualified by the gifts we have. We're qualified because we're in Christ, and the blood and the resurrection is what really qualifies us to celebrate and lead someone in baptism.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's speak just briefly, and then we're going to go and talk with Lindell out in Long Beach, California. You know, there's a lot of people that talk about the necessity of water baptism for salvation. If you're not dunked in water, immersed in water, then you can't be saved. And, you know, I find a lot of people that buy into that, that believe that, have very little hope of assurance as far as their future is concerned. And I think that brings us right back to what we talked about at the beginning, the fact that we have been given the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing what lies ahead. The fact that we've been baptized in the Spirit, by the Spirit, placed into the body of Christ, that's what gives us the hope we're looking for. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to baptize us by the Spirit, in the Spirit, not in water. And I think that's something we really need to understand as believers.
Yeah, I mean, and, you know, one of the best passages, besides the obvious thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus said. And, of course, Jesus didn't tear that man down off the cross in order to baptize him in the local swimming pool and then put him back up. Clearly, that man was with Jesus that very day, and there was no water baptism. Well, that's one example. And then, you know, you go to Acts chapter 10, verse 47, and Peter is realizing that some Gentiles, yeah, some dirty, dirty Gentiles, just like us, had received the Spirit. They had been saved. And so he turns to his buddies and he says, hey, you know, can anybody forbid these people now from being baptized in water? Because they've already received the Spirit just as we have. So which came first, the Spirit or the baptism? Well, getting the Spirit came first, and then the water baptism, Peter says, well, why not? What prevents them? They're saved just like us, so let's go celebrate. And I think that it's examples like these, Bob, that are just inexplicable apart from the simple truth that it is God's Spirit that saves us, not water.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned the hard way in my life is if there is anything I'm holding on to that's my responsibility, I have no hope. And some of those things were really hidden. The Spirit finally revealed them over time. And there are so many people out there who think they have to do something, that I'm responsible for something. And if you believe that, you're not going to have any hope, because it's all Jesus or it's nothing at all.
Absolutely. Let's go to Long Beach, California, and talk with Lindell. Hi, Lindell.
Hi, how you doing? Talked to you once before last week, and good to talk with you again. I want to thank you because you guys have been focusing on hope, and I'm recovering from open heart surgery about 6 months ago, and I'm not all the way through it yet. But in the last 10 years, I've had two knee surgeries. 5 years ago, two brain surgeries in one day, two heart attacks, a stroke, lost my left eye, and I'm tired. You know, I'm looking for that new body, and last week after we hung up, you were talking about something in Romans about how all of us are groaning and we're going to get that new body. And, you know, I understand that. I know that. But I had one of those moments, and that's what I want to thank you for, because I was reading this over about the body that we're going to get and how the Lord is going to glorify himself in and through us with that new body. And I guess what the Holy Spirit showed me, and it just stunned me, was that it's not about us at all. It's, you know, it's his glory. And we just get to experience that in that whole new realm where none of this pain and none of this suffering and all of these scars are all gone, but we've got that new brand new body. And I don't know, I was just reading the scriptures that I'd read hundreds of times, and it just sort of hit me. And it was rather stunning. So I have to really thank you for focusing on that, because I don't know if I'd have had that moment or not, because I was just, like I said, in the book of Romans, thinking about what's ahead and contrasting with what all of us have now, these old broken down bodies of hurt, and what we're going to have. We don't really even know what that's going to be like, but, you know, he's going to glorify himself, and you know, we get to be there. We're sons, and I don't quite know how to put it in words, yeah. But I just want
well,
to
Linda,
thank
Linda, that's
you.
When our humanness will reach its pinnacle, when we really understand exactly what God has created us for and the experience that we can have as people, you know, that have been recreated in his image. And, you know, it's, as it says, we don't know what that's going to be like. All we know is that when he appears, we're going to be like him. And even in this world today, we are like him because of the Spirit working within us. And that is just a glorious thought and an incredible hope that each and every one of us have. And Lyndall, I'm so glad you called, and I'm so glad that God's Spirit was able to really encourage and comfort you through the Scripture, through the Word of God. And thank you for the great encouragement today, my friend.
Well, thank you, and you guys keep on. I love all of you.
You
thank
too, Lyndall.
Yeah,
thank you
so much.
I'll get up. All right.
Bye-bye. Let's go to Arlene, listening to us in New York on WMCA. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
I was reading Luke 7 the other day, and I was just kind of baffled with Luke 7, verse 20.
Yeah, John the Baptist, you know, wondering if Jesus was really the Messiah, or should we expect someone else?
Right.
Andrew, how do you answer that question?
Well, I mean, John the Baptist, not every word that comes out of his mouth is a perfect word. He was not the Messiah. He was the one who came before the Messiah. And eventually, of course, it dawned on him. But, you know, you grow up with somebody, you see someone who is from your neighborhood, from your town, from your country, who's a local, and yet he seems to be special. He seems to be doing miracles and healing. And you wonder, you know, is this the Messiah? And it's human to question that and doubt that. But ultimately, he came to the right conclusion, just as we all need to. And John the Baptist was not fit to tie Jesus' sandals, he even admitted. So to me, I don't want to put any stock in John the Baptist. I want to put all my stock in Jesus and his true identity. And it doesn't surprise me a bit that John wrestled with that.
Yeah. Well, Arlene, I hope that helps.
Yeah, we're
out of time today. Just hang on. We'll pick up right after the broadcast. But wanted to remind our listeners before we go off the air of the special, the Simple Gospel, Simply Grace book, plus the study guide, the combo for $12. Call 844 844- 412-2742, 844-412-2742.
Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, for Andrew Farley and the ministry team, Bob Davis saying God bless you. We're going to be back tomorrow. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.